Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh man, I can't wait to hear this week's woke update. And there's so many woke updates, so I can't wait to hear this week's Trump W, the Trump win of the week, although I think we're about to get one big, beautiful Trump W here in maybe a few minutes, maybe within the next 3 hours of the show. But David Noble, good to see you, my friend.
Good to be here, Aaron. I am so excited about getting these Trump tax cuts finalized and made permanent. I remember years ago saying, As a small business owner in this state, as an employer in the state, the number one political issue in my mind is getting those Trump tax cuts made permanent. For a lot of business owners in the state, you're talking tens of thousands of dollars in tax increases that would have been implemented. And there's a lot of employers in the state that they start getting hit with tens of thousands of dollars in tax increases, and they're not going to be able to do the same types of contracts and employments as they've always done. And so the fact that we are getting very, very close to actually getting those Trump tax cuts permanent and finalized, I think is not only the Trump W of the week, potentially, if this thing finally goes through. And I thought it was going to pass last night, and then you hear you wake up this morning at 5:30 a.m. and you see the latest updates, and they're still voting and the vote's still open and all of this other stuff. But the fact that we're looking at that is making those Trump tax cuts permanent is a direct financial benefit to every Montanan. Remember, over 85% of all Americans got a tax cut under the Trump tax cuts. And so that's the type of thing, that's what politics is all about. It's about taxing and spending. That's one of the core issues of domestic politics. And we are about to see a massive, massive victory that's going to be a direct financial benefit to all of us here in Montana. It's huge.
Look at what we saw under the Joe Biden, John Tester years with the massive inflation. I mean, basically, we all were losing $10,000 to $20,000 a year that we were losing because of inflation hikes. Okay, well, now inflation has been tamed, thankfully, by President Trump, by taming a lot of this massive government spending. But imagine if you then got hit with another $10,000 hit because of tax hikes going up, if these Trump tax cuts were not made permanent. So then you could basically say, okay, there's a $30,000 hit to your annual take-home pay as a result of the Joe Biden, John Tester inflation, and if they did not reauthorize and make permanent the Trump tax cuts. I mean, which is more money than some people make
right
in an annual in a year.
Which is why so many people are struggling. So what you're talking about is the world that we would live in if John Tester had won, if Kamala Harris had won. And then I don't know if you saw breaking news just this morning, hiring defied expectations in June, 147,000 new jobs added. Unemployment rate fell to 4.1%. They only expected 110,000 job gains in June. We're at almost 150,000. So the Trump economy just keeps rolling. And the bad news about that for the finances of the United States is that it makes a rate cut much less likely from the Fed, because why would they cut rates when unemployment's so low and we're creating all these new jobs?
Even though inflation has been tamed, that's why they should lower rates. But they don't want to do it because it's good for Trump and it's good for America.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With partial sun and some developing showers and storms across the area today, mainly in the afternoon and into the evening. High temperature readings will range from around 86 in Bozeman and 93 in Billings. Scattered showers and storms around early tonight especially. Temperatures will drop back off down into the mid-50s in Bozeman and the mid-60s in Billings. We'll see more developing showers and storms on Friday. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm Paul Trombley.
Media Minute with Howard Kurtz.
It's not surprising that President Trump would go after socialist candidate Zoran Mamdani, who won the Democratic nomination for mayor in New York. Republicans want to make him the face of the Democratic Party. Trump, frankly, I've heard he's a total nut job. I think the people in New York are crazy because they go this route. But he hasn't ruled out deporting Mamdani, who's been a U.S. citizen for several years. Here's what the candidate has to say. Donald Trump said that I should be arrested, that I should be deported, that I should be denaturalized. He said those things about me as someone who stands to be the first immigrant mayor of the city and as a distraction. So he maybe is loving these attacks, can turn them to his advantage. Meanwhile, the media now saying he can't deliver on most of his promises because he needs state approval. Now they tell us. With your Media Minute, Howie Kurtz, Fox News.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August. Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcast. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen, and subscribe.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, David, I got to add one more Trump W, one more Trump win of the week here. I actually had this one ready to roll earlier in the week. I think I had this. Wait a minute. I had this one ready to roll yesterday. This is a good Trump W of the week. Remember when 60 Minutes deceptively edited the Kamala Harris video clip from the interview to try to help Kamala in the presidential election? Well, Trump scores another W with a legal settlement from fake news CBS.
The parent company of CBS News agrees to pay $16 million to settle President Trump's lawsuit. That's a fraction of what the president sought. He sued for $20 billion, accusing the network of 2024 election interference for editing a 60 Minutes interview with then-Vice President Harris. The settlement will cover items including legal fees and contributions to his future presidential library. In agreeing to the settlement, CBS is not acknowledging any journalistic wrongdoing.
Already understood by everybody. They don't need to acknowledge it. It's just well understood, right? But, yeah, another Trump W there.
Fantastic Trump W. And I love the way they're spinning it, like, oh, this is, you know, we just settled this to avoid litigation. It's like, no, if you pay $16 million, that's a little bit more than what we call a nuisance value settlement where, we just don't want to pay. Here's the deal. They could have litigated that case for a lot less than $16 million, and if they thought they could have won, they probably would have.
Yeah. Now let's go to the woke update of the week. We always like to do a woke update of the week with David Noble. This one's a cool one, I think, because I haven't heard what the story is yet, but it's written by Guy Benson. I just got to do a fireside chat with Guy Benson, Fox News, townhall.com. at the Montana GOP convention banquet Friday night. It was good to see you there as well. But Guy Benson apparently has this week's woke update of the week.
Yeah, he just put out this story. It's official. The Democrats are now an anti-Israel party. And this there's nothing more woke than this. There is nothing more woke than this. In 2017, the Democrat Party was a pro-Israel party. They sympathized with the Israelis by 13 points more than with the Palestinians. Now, 8 years later, the Democrats sympathize more with the Palestinians by 43 points. That's a sea change in the margin of 56 points over just 8 years. So, again, you may say, wait, why is that woke to support the Palestinians over Israel? Well, it's woke because the entire thing driving that is the same mindset that drives DEI and everything else, and they're against Israel simply because Israel is successful, and they're in favor of the Palestinians because, hey, the Palestinians hate the USA too, and probably capitalism on top of that and everything else. But to actually sympathize, I mean, here's the other thing. It also shows a complete lack of understanding of any kind of history, because if you actually look at history, the entire history of Israel in the Middle East is of the world and Israel offering the Palestinians and the Arabs a separate state and peace time and time and time again and again and again. And every single time they reject it because, you know what? They will accept nothing less than the complete and total destruction of Israel in the Middle East. And so how could you possibly sympathize with a group of people that refuse to even recognize that Israel should exist or that there should be any Jews living in the Middle East. And then you're not going to sympathize with the Israelis who are subject to insane terrorist attacks all the time. And they've done nothing wrong. And they're the only democracy in the Middle East that provides civil rights and respects their citizens, no matter what their race or creed. And you're not going to sympathize with them having rockets. I mean, these Democrats have gone insane on the Israel issue.
They have embraced anti-Semitism. It is so ingrained in the base of the Democrat Party with their AOC-style younger voters that they have now become, like you say, not just the anti-Israel party. They have become the party of anti-Semitism. That actually ties it. I've got like three stories in front of me here, all from the DailyWire.com that either tie in or could be its own woke update of the week here. The one that you just mentioned, yeah, by the numbers, even CNN's expert pollster is shocked by how anti-Israel the Democrats have become. Okay, of course, let's see. I thought I had the audio ready. Here we go.
Andrew Cuomo, during the primary, attacked Mondani as being insufficiently pro-Israel. I'm not quite sure the former governor understood how much the politics have changed around this issue among Democrats. What are we talking about here? All right, who Democrats sympathize more with, Israelis or Palestinians? In 2017, the Democratic Party was a pro-Israeli party. Look at this. They sympathized with the Israelis by 13 points, more with the Israelis than the Palestinians. But look at this sea change. Now Democrats sympathize more with the Palestinians by 43 points. Oh, my God, that is a change in the margin of 56 points over the course of just 8 years. So,
and David, what of course makes this remarkable was the Palestinians and their terrorist leaders were responsible for the worst terrorist attack since against the Jews since the Holocaust.
Yeah.
If you took the Israeli population on a per capita basis like the American population, when they launched their terrorist attacks into southern Israel, it would be equated to if 22,000 Americans were killed in one day. And that was only, a couple of years ago, and the Democrats have sympathized with the terrorists.
That's unbelievable. I mean, it's unbelievable, isn't it? This is not a poll. This is not a poll that says, hey, who has the right to live in the West Bank, or who has the right to own, you know, Jerusalem, or that's not the, it's just sympathize. Who do you sympathize with? I mean, that's truly insane to actually, and if you're just going to sympathize with somebody, there's really only, here's the other thing. I think this is another example of the Democrats going completely off the rails on these issues, because that's not where the American people are at. And whether it's on that issue or the radical LGBTQ agenda, or the Democrats are getting farther and farther and farther away from American values and traditions.
Did you see the Federalist had a story? Only 36% of Democrats are proud to be American. Did you see that story?
Not surprised. I didn't, but not surprised.
Sports update.
The All-Star game is coming. Starting players revealed. I'm Jared Max, 12 days away from the Major League Baseball Midsummer Classic, July 15th on Fox. Last night, all 18 starting position players were announced. Leading the way in representation, the Dodgers and the Tigers each have three starters. For Los Angeles, Shohei Ohtani, Freddie Freeman, and Will Smith. For American League Best Detroit, Gleyber Torres, Riley Green, and Javier Baez. Reserves and pitchers for the American and National League All-Star teams will get revealed Sunday. The Dodgers won for the 14th time in 17 games Wednesday. Scored three runs in the bottom of the ninth to walk off against the White Sox 5-4. Clayton Kershaw became the 20th pitcher in Major League history to record 3,000 strikeouts. International soccer news. Portuguese star Diogo Jota, who played for Liverpool in English Premier League, died early this morning in Spain with his brother in a car accident. Diogo Jota was 28 years old. His team stated Liverpool Football Club are devastated by the tragic passing of Diogo Jota. His brother, 25-year-old André Silva, also played professional soccer for a team in Portugal. Portuguese Football Federation stated, we have lost two champions. Their deaths represent irreparable losses for Portuguese football, and we will do everything we can to honor their legacy every day. In the first 3 days of the Wimbledon Championships, American Taylor Fritz played two matches that both went the distance, five sets. Fritz won his second rounder yesterday over Gabriel Diallo from Canada. Fritz has already played 109 service games in two matches at Wimbledon, where he's the third top five seed player ever to play back-to-back five setters to make it to the third round. Today, 10th seeded American Ben Shelton and 13th seed Tommy Paul both played their second round matches, as do 29th seed Brandon Nakashima and Riley Opelka against each other. For more more scores, stories, and features, go to foxsports.com. I'm Jared Max.
Get more on the Fox Sports app and foxsports.com.
All right, you guys have heard about alligator Alcatraz in Florida. That's right, Jerry. What if we had an alligator Alcatraz in Montana? What would we call it? Tim and Billings could call it Grizzly Gitmo. Right on John says Carnival Island. Man, we had such a great time on Wednesday's Montana Talks. What are we going to talk about on Thursday's show? Well, why don't you tell us? Because Montana Talks is the show where you get to talk and be heard statewide Monday through Friday right here, 9 to 10.
I'm a pretty great multitasker. I can wash dishes and do laundry.
I can roller skate while walking my dog.
I can even order lunch while doing my homework. But I can't use my phone while driving. A distracted driver is one of the leading causes of death in the United States. So when it comes to driving, please, don't be a multitasker.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
This is where Montana Talks Ag with Lane Nordlund.
The University of Illinois surveyed Americans to see how they view the Trump administration's Make America Healthy Again, or MAHA, initiative. One of the interesting results from the University of Illinois survey shows support among both conservatives and liberals, says Maria Kalazadunokis.
We also found sort of some interesting perspectives that very conservative and conservatives were more likely to support MAHA, but also people who were very liberal had higher rates of supporting MAHA. I was expecting to see what I've heard echoed in news stories lately, which is that MAHA supporters broadly think of the food system as being unsafe or broadly untrusting of food system players. Basically, what we found is that while they broadly are not concerned about safety of the food system, or while they're broadly not untrusting of all food system players, they have specific concerns.
These results appear to be in line with the central messaging from the MAHA Commission. Those criticisms focused on ultra-processed foods, food additives, pesticides, and the size and influence of some food firms. If you're interested in reading more of these findings, well, they're posted on the University of Illinois FarmDoc Daily website. You can read all about it and how both conservatives and liberals are showing support for the MAHA initiative. Thanks for joining us here today. I'm Lane Nordlund. Have a great day, everyone.
Montana Talks, uniting the Treasure State, one conversation at a time. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
The Reverend Al Sharpton. The Reverend Al Sharpton. That guy is no reverend. That was funny. Actually, weren't you hosting the show, David, during the Trump inauguration day? And I called in, and I just ran into Al Sharpton out there in front of MSNBC and Fox News.
Yeah. That's right. I remember that.
That's right. So this is kind of a woke update, but it ties in with how the Democrats have become the anti-Israel party. It woke update as well here. So where do I start? Okay, first, let me throw out a couple more quick headlines from the DailyWire.com. And remind me about Al Sharpton here. So here's one. Hank Berrien writes this. The Columbia University president wanted to replace a Jewish board member with an Arab. And said this, quote, "We need to get somebody from the Middle East or who is Arab on our board." And then the Columbia University president, it's been unearthed in documents, referred to the Jewish board member as a, quote, mole. Wow. As a mole on their board.
Just outright racism.
My goodness. I saw one of my liberal friends, you know, we were joking about alligator Alcatraz and what you could call it in Montana. And, you know, we were calling it, you know, Grizzly Gitmo is what Tim and Billings called it, which a lot of folks are going with here. And, of course, you know, leave it to the liberals to make Auschwitz references. It's like, okay, this is a humane detention facility that will give people their due process rights and then humanely treat them. These people, and you're comparing it to a concentration camp?
Disgusting.
While
disgusting.
You guys defend Columbia and Harvard, while you guys have become the party of anti-Semitism, but you want to make Auschwitz references? Really? Come
absolutely,
on, man.
Absolutely disgusting and revolting, Aaron. You know what that reminds me of, too, is that mayoral candidate in New York City, that socialist extremist Muslim, he actually has on his website that his tax plan is going to increase taxes on white neighborhoods.
Yeah.
And he was actually asked about that on the fake news Sunday shows. Of course, you know, I do a Sunday shows review on my Twitch channel and on live on YouTube at Lecture Fan, LCTRFAN. But I was reviewing this stuff on Sunday, and I was blown away that Face the Nation actually asked this guy, wait, are you a racist? Are you literally racist? What are you talking about? Like a tax plan to increase taxes on white neighborhoods? And he says, well, that's just factually what's going to happen when you implement a tax plan that's sort of based on non-racial criteria. It just so happens that, you know, white people own all of these more expensive blah, 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 blah. And they're saying, but why would you put on your website like, hey, guys, hey, everybody, check this out. One of the benefits of my tax plan is it's going to increase taxes on white neighborhoods.
Yeah.
These people are racist.
Yeah, the commie Mamdani. That's how he's being referred to now, which is a great line. I forget. I'll have to see who's calling.
You know,
I think
what?
It's
you
Trump
know,
who's calling Al, the Al, commie Mamdani. But the commie Mamdani, yeah, he could have just put on his website, I'm going to tax the richer neighborhoods more. But he had to include rich. He had to say, I'm going to tax the white rich neighborhoods more. Here's the other thing about Mamdani. This is another woke update of the week for you here. Commie Mamdani. Mamdani had a bill that would fine New Yorkers $1 million for donating to unauthorized nonprofits in Israel. This guy claims that people don't support the freedom of speech if they call him out for the crazy stuff he said. But this guy wanted to fine people for donating to nonprofits in Israel.
If they ever actually implemented that would be struck down so fast as unconstitutional and illegal. Just a blatant attack on freedom and liberty and free speech.
Yeah. Let's see. I want to get to Kevin in Billings here as well. But before we move on from the commie Mamdani and the woke updates, anything else we wanted to throw in there, David?
There was, but I forgot. Let's get the caller on.
Al Sharpton. Okay. Al Sharpton. I see. You were supposed to hold me accountable here, David, for Pete's sake here. All right, Kevin and Billings, stand by for just a second here. So the Reverend Al Sharpton, apparently Governor Cuomo is going to stay in the race, going to keep his name on the ballot, the Democrat who lost to the commie Mamdani. And then you've got Curtis Sliwa running as the Republican. He's the Red Beret guy, the Mr. Public Safety guy, great guy. And then, of course, you got New York City current mayor Eric Adams, who, you know, the Democrats got pissed at him because he, you know, started speaking up against the illegal aliens. Well, Al Sharpton is calling for Cuomo to drop out of the race. And my thing is like, okay, so Al Sharpton doesn't support the brother. He's not going to support the brother, you know, because Mayor Adams is black.
Right.
And he's still basically a Democrat, but they just don't want to support him because he doesn't support their illegal alien invasion. So Al Sharpton is throwing the brother under the bus because he wants the commie Mamdani, the anti-Semitic commie Mamdani.
Doesn't that go against everything Al Sharpton has built his career on?
No, because Al Sharpton has built his career on lining his pockets and tearing...
Oh, so this is perfectly consistent.
Yeah, perfectly consistent. He wants to tear the country apart along social and economic and racial lines. And so
But it does show that he actually doesn't care about the brothers.
Yeah, he could care less about the black community. He cares about lining his pockets. That's what it shows. Yeah, good point, David Noble. All right, Kevin and Billings, stand by. Like 12 woke updates there already, and they could keep coming here, by the way, with how insane the Democrat Party has become. Let's go to Kevin and Billings on the phone lines. Kevin, what's on your mind? Thanks for the call.
Well, Aaron, first of all, I took your advice. I interviewed Jennifer Owen for city, the candidate for mayor here in Billings.
Hey, very cool. So that'll be on your Rocky Mountain Freedom Zone podcast. All right.
Yes, it is up there already. Yes.
Very cool.
So I wanted to talk about the shooting in Coeur d'Alene. I find it disturbing. Now, the Gateway Pundit had an article, and then they took it down shortly after, about this guy named Travis Decker, who supposedly was one of the shooters. Now, we do know one of the shooters was Wes, I can't remember his last name off the top of my head, But
You don't need to share the shooter's names because we don't need to give them any publicity. If you asked me anyway, anyway, what's your thoughts?
Well, okay, so there's a guy on X named George Webb. He has a Substack account, and he's suggesting that there are two shooters, and one of them was who the Gateway pundit was mentioning. And then this other guy that I mentioned, and for the life of me, I can't remember his last name, but do you think that there is more than one shooter at this, with this shooting on Sunday?
What was your second question there?
Well, I was just, I mean, we know that the media has half of the story right sometimes. I was just wondering if you agree with this George Webb guy on Substack, and he's done a whole video about it on X. If you go to his website, Twitter account, George Webb.
Yeah, I haven't seen it. What would lead you to believe that it's accurate? I mean, I guess the first red flag to me would be if the Gateway Pundit posted a story but then took it down. They took it down because they felt that there was something that was not accurate with the story. So what do you think based off of you watching that video?
I think he was talking about the sheriff's timeline and how, I can't remember the whole story, but something to do with the sheriff's timeline.
Oh, okay. Interesting. Yeah. If you find out more, shoot us a note on the app or something like that. Yeah, David Noble, what I've heard, and I need to find the latest news on this, is that basically this deranged lunatic shooter apparently wanted to become a firefighter and apparently did not get the job. And then he just goes on this just heinous rampage. I mean, it was just so despicable. It was just shocking.
Yeah, not a whole lot to be said from my perspective on those kinds of stories. I mean, I like to talk big policy ideas and politics and things like that. Some of these, these shooting stories are horrific. I think we all kind of feel the same on them. Just a horrible, horrible situation.
What can you say with something that horrific other than God bless these first responders who go out there every day and not only face the fire, but then
to try to help somebody like that. Yeah.
Yeah, but then have to face who knows what else in the process as well. Okay, quick break. More to follow right after this. And phone lines are open for you as well. Bye-bye.
Broadcasting live across the big sky, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, David, I don't need to play the audio to cut into your time and our time here, although it's a good audio clip here. I had this one ready to rock and roll on Monday's show. Zoran Mamdani, so the Kami Mamdani, ducks and weaves when asked to condemn the term that calls for the killing of Jews. This guy has used the term globalize the intifada, which basically means kill Jews all over the world. That's the term this guy has used.
Obviously.
He does the river to the sea chants. This guy is anti-Semitic. He has called for the death of Jews. So he was asked
by... That's even worse than anti-Semitism. That's genocidal.
Genocidal, exactly. And so as David pointed out before the break, three different times this guy was asked by...
Face the Nation
on CBS to... let me just give you just so people know that we're not just making this up here. Here is the first question. And he was asked a similar question three times because he refused to answer it.
Freeman Arroyo.
Oh, wait, that's the wrong clip. That's another one, though. Hold on for that one. Okay, here we go.
Recently asked about the term globalize the intifada, if it makes you uncomfortable. In that moment, you did not condemn the phrase. Now, just so folks understand, it's a phrase that many people hear as a call to violence against Jews. There's been a lot of attention on this issue.
All right, anyway, so he bobs and weaves, doesn't answer. Three times she asked him, and eventually he says, well, I'm not going to police people's speech.
And he says that's not the language he uses, but he continues to refuse to condemn it, which is the news story. I don't care if that's not the phrase you choose to use. I don't care if you respect other people. It's not what we're asking, bro. We're asking you to condemn a very clearly racist, genocidal statement that's... And of course, well, then you see the polling where the Democrats in America apparently now don't have any connection to reality or truth or justice when it comes to the Israel-Palestine issue, and he just won the primary, so maybe there's some political savviness to what he's doing here, but if that's the case, good luck, Democrats, ever winning a national election again, you nut jobs.
Yeah, so, yeah, he eventually says, well, I'm not going to police the speech of other people, so refusing to condemn calls to globalize the intifada. But, David, we just talked about how, yes, he had a bill to do just that, to police the speech of American citizens by fining New Yorkers $1 million if they donate to nonprofit organizations in Israel.
So you're telling me he's a hypocrite? What a total hypocrite. A lot of these Democrats are hypocrites on a lot of issues. That's just a very crystal clear example right there.
Yeah. David, apparently you hadn't heard this one yet, so I'm sure some of our listeners hadn't heard about it yet either, but there were these there was this music festival in the UK, and one of these female R&B / rap stars refused to go to the music festival. Her response was, quote, "I'm not wearing an effing hijab." Which was great. Good for her. Was it Iggy Azalea? I forget who the gal was, but this music festival, you know, very clearly they were trying to promote an anti-Semitic agenda. They had this this rap group. I won't say the rap group's name, but this was the chant that aired live on the BBC.
Free, free! Free, free! Alright, but have you heard this one though? Death, death to the IDF!
That was airing live on BBC. But when you talk about the insanity that is being embraced by the media, by many in the media, but that is being embraced by the Democrat Party, these people have Stockholm syndrome to the nth degree with these Palestinian terrorists.
Yeah, you know, you can honestly, I can just hear the demonic possession in that guy's voice just from that audio recording. It's incredible. It's wow, just dark. You can just feel the dark, just the hatred and the darkness. And then they're going to go out there and say, hey, we're going to start taxing white neighborhoods, and then claim like, and of course I saw this hilarious tweet, Aaron. This is a sarcastic tweet, but it basically went like this. It was like, the Jews are so like devious and mischievous that 4,000 years ago, they went and they buried their artifacts in Israel so that in the 20th and the 21st century, they could argue that they've been there for 4,000 years.
Oh, that's hilarious.
It's like, no, Democrats, no, the Jews didn't go there and bury their artifacts 4,000 years ago. They've been living there since then.
Yeah, they were the indigenous people.
They are, exactly.
The natives, which is, by the way, for a lot of Montanans may not even know this, but you know, oftentimes when you drive past the Crow tribal headquarters on the Crow Nation and Crow Agency, you will see the Israeli flag flying high. And for that very reason is they see the Jewish people and the people of Israel as the indigenous people, as the native people of that land. And they are supporting the indigenous people of the land of Israel.
Yeah. Well, and here's the other
thing. But don't tell our woke New York friends that one.
Apparently not, especially not the Democrats up there in New York. But, I mean, here's the other deal, right? We're seeing this hatred of Jews, very clearly hatred of Jews, and you've seen it, frankly, for thousands and thousands of years throughout human history. What this proves to me, Aaron, the fact that you still have this kind of Jew hatred out there like this, all this proves to me is that the Bible is correct and the Bible is true, and that
that's exactly right.
And that God did choose to send his message to all of humankind by utilizing and through the Jewish people, and that's where this demonic sort of satanic hatred that you're hearing coming from these
people. And I remember
you
said that a couple of years ago even, and it's such a good point that there is this unexplainable, irrational hatred of Jews. And now it's at an irrational, unexplainable level, even in this country. And there's nothing else to say other than the fact that it appears to just be this demonic drive and, you know, of hatred towards the Jewish people, the people of Israel.
Here's the thing, Aaron. I support Jewish people and Israel because I support all people, and I support our allies, and Israel is a great ally, and it's good for America's national security. And if you care about America first, then you're going to support our alliance with Israel based on strict, hardcore national security interests of the United States.
And they also wouldn't strap suicide vests to their chest to kill any one of us at their first opportunity, unlike some of the people in the Gaza Strip.
Yes. That too, okay? So that's my genuine reasons for supporting Israel based on our national security interests, okay? But then they will then accuse me of only supporting Israel because of my religious beliefs, when in fact it's their religious beliefs that are driving their hatred of Israel, because if they actually cared about America's national security, they would support Israel too. They're the ones that are using their dark religion as a basis to hate Israel and to hate Jews. So back off, you leftists, and quit being hypocrites and quit accusing us of everything that you're doing.
So why do so few Democrats say they are proud to be an American? A Gallup poll revealed Monday, this is from the Federal List. A Gallup poll revealed Monday that only 36% of Democrats say they are proud to be an American, which is down from 87% in 2001. I think I
know the answer to
What would your answer be?
My answer would be that the colleges and the universities in this country are teaching our youth that America is a bad country, that we're an evil country, that we've been a net negative, which of course is a lie, and we know where lies come from.
I think there's two things happening here. I think there's one. There is, like you say, the woke higher education, America bad. It's a fundamentally racist country that they were pushing critical race theory to teach the youth that America is bad. So why wouldn't the Democrats think that America is bad when that's what their party is wanting to teach? They even wanted to push that in the Bozeman, K through 12, right? And then I think the other thing is if they're not in charge, if their party isn't in power, they're not proud to be an American. It hinges on elections now.
That is totally it. Yeah, they don't recognize the bigger picture here and the Constitution. And they don't recognize that, of course, no country's perfect. But if you actually look back on the full breadth of American history, we have done more positive and more good things for the world than any other country ever in the entire history of humanity. And, of course, we've done some bad things, too.
Hey, we got some great callers on the phone lines here. Let me go first to Tom in Bozeman. Tom, we got about a minute before the break. What's on your mind?
Hey, good morning, Aaron. I think the Democrats are having a contest to see who could submit the most rapid editorial to the Bozeman Chronicle. One, Kelly Wiseman, Senator Daines, proved to us that trickle-down will cover the deficit. He had convinced us, show us something beyond the talking points of a stale party with no new ideas. Stale party with no new ideas, that's a Democrat party. Even the Democrats admit that. Republicans have a lot of new ideas, and they're making things happen. These people are living in a parallel universe. Today, a guy named John Mills, this takes the cake for stupidity. Daines knows Trump will never willingly leave office, and with Russia's help, he'll gladly support whatever is left of American democracy. Daines could have saved America. He could have shown the courage and character of Liz Cheney. I mean,
he's still going with the Russia hoax. That guy is streaming down Maine with his man bun and a bag of granola with a hole in it, spilling everywhere right now. He is so angry at life and so angry at the world. You can just see the guy, right, David?
Picture perfect.
He doesn't
have a... Hipsters of Bozeman.
Hipsters of Bozeman would be all over this guy on their Instagram page. That was great, Tom. Thanks for the phone call. Perry in Columbus, Nancy in Roundup, stand by. And we got David Noble in the house, right? After this.
I'm always looking for ways to show my cat how much I love her. And with Fancy Feast Gems, I can pamper her whenever I want with a savory gravy on top of a gourmet mousse pate. The pyramid shape makes serving simple, so all I have to do is peel and plate to make mealtime feel extra fancy. And with two entrees in every pack, it's easy to turn every day into the extraordinary. Fancy Feast Gems.
Fox News Commentary.
Alligator Alcatraz is better than Disney World. I'm Tommy Lahren. More next.
It's time to take the quiz.
It's five questions in less than 5 minutes. We asked people on the streets of New York City to play along. Let's see how you do.
What is the name of the coffee shop in the sitcom Friends?
Mel's Diner.
Thank you, sir.
The answer? Central Perk.
Either way, you can always try again tomorrow. Take the quiz every day at thequiz.fox, then come back here to see how you did.
And thank you for taking the quiz. Alligator Alcatraz is a beautiful complex designed to temporarily house illegal alien detainees before they are removed from our country. The facility has its very own airstrip to expedite the removal aspect of Trump's immigration approach. The facility is quite nice, probably too nice for its inhabitants, honestly. It has a max capacity of 3,000 detainees and 1,000 staffers, over 200 cameras, 400-plus security personnel, as well as legal advisors and medical personnel. Other available resources include legal services, clergy, laundry, air conditioning, and even a rec yard. Those on the left likening it to a concentration camp, well, they just hate the idea of detaining anyone. Alligator Alcatraz is an inspired idea, and I love it. But I do feel badly for the alligators, though. They have to share space with criminal illegal alien invaders, and that's just not fair. I'm Tommy Lahren, and you can watch my show, Tommy Lahren is Fearless, at Outkick.com.
Bullet points.
I'm Evan Brown. Did you get your Colorado concealed carry permit in time? Starting today, it becomes a bit more difficult. Today's the day changes in Colorado's law go into effect, aimed at making requirements for a concealed carry permit in the state more stringent. Starting today, those wanting the permit in Colorado need to pass a live fire practical and a written competency exam, but also having a record of certain misdemeanors will bar you from being able to receive a Colorado concealed carry permit. It's caused sheriff's offices around the state to have received an increased number of permit applications through the month of June, as applicants wanted to get theirs without having to take the tests. That being said, Colorado does allow for open carry without a permit and has permit reciprocity to varying degrees with 37 other states. And those are your bullet points. I'm Evan Brown, Fox News.
But whatever you do, don't let it get worse. You don't have to live with this anymore. Go check it out now. Just click over to crystalflush.com.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. Hopefully we can get to everybody here before we run out of time. Just a quick few minutes left in the hour. Perry in Columbus. Perry, what's on your mind? Thanks for the call.
Good morning, Aaron. Good morning, David. I would just want to say a quick thing about freedom and the countries that have it and the countries that don't, and why our freedoms invoke and cause existential madness of the modern American left. That you've got the Islamists and the communists linking arms now because the thing that they hate is freedom, and we have it, and they want to take it. And the anti-Semitism, you know, Israel is one of the other nations. There's a handful of nations in the world where there's relative freedom and self-determination, and they're one of them. Even our Canadian friends, except you can't have the kind of firepower that allows you to tell the government no and make it stick. But madness of the left that makes them hate that so badly. That's why they hate, they're not proud of America. That's why they're not proud, that's why they want to exterminate the Jews, is because we represent freedom.
That's right. David, I do believe it's a war on the broader Western civilization. I think that's what Perry's touching on here. Perry, thanks for the call.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great point, and it raises the question that we've all sort of wondered is, how on earth are these communists and socialists teaming up with radical Islamists? Because on one hand, the left is pushing this radical LGBTQ agenda, but then they'll support sort of radical Islamists who hate that stuff. But in terms of freedom, you know, one of my favorite things on the show, Aaron, is to go back to things that I talked about when I was guest hosting. And back during the legislative session, I was guest hosting, and I came in here one day, and there was a news story that day that the legislature just passed a ban on styrofoam cups. And I came in here.
Yeah, we didn't get to this story yet.
But I came in here, Aaron, and I was like, look, listeners, thanks for listening. I'm trying not to come in here and just trash the legislature. legislature every time. But I kind of got to unleash on this one, and I went berserk on the ban on styrofoam for a lot of different reasons. And Perry's call made me think of this because that's basic freedom. Look, if you want to drink a coffee cup out of a styrofoam cup, you should have the freedom to do so. Of course, never mind the fact that it was a bunch of unnecessary spending to implement.
So the governor vetoed a bill to ban styrofoam cups.
He vetoed it.
And
yes.
You've got an update. Share
and
that
so
with
then,
us.
Yeah. So then some Democrat sent Governor Gianforte a bunch of styrofoam cups and said, Greg, since you love styrofoam cups so much, I found some in the basement. I thought you had enough money to buy yourself a Yeti. You do realize that you're part of the problem, right? And so Governor Gianforte takes a picture of the styrofoam cups and the note, tweets it out, and says he's going to put those styrofoam cups to good use this weekend. So I love the fact that I was hard on that bill, and then the governor vetoed it. Let's go.
And I love it, too, that the Democrat thinks they're sending a nasty gram to the governor, and the governor laughs about it and posts it on social media.
And he's actually going to – I would love to see him actually use the styrofoam cups.
That's hilarious. Well, speaking of guest hosting, David Noble's going to be in next week for 3 days. It's going to be great. The breakfast flakes are even gone on vacation. So, David, it's all on your shoulders next week.
I'll carry it.
The whole state is counting on you. All right, we got about a minute to go. Nancy in Roundup, what did you want to say about that Kami Mamdani?
Yeah, Mamdani doesn't have a chance to be mayor of New York City. There's a huge, huge population of Jewish in New York, and many of them are also radical. They have very, very hard feelings, you know, about what has happened to them for thousands of years. But I just want to say, he followed the teachings of this Karl Marx. Karl Marx was a bum. He never worked a day in his life. He had 7 kids. 4 died of malnutrition, 2 committed suicide, and 1 survived into adulthood. And
look at the hundreds of millions that have been killed by communists. Nancy, thanks for the call. Sorry we're out of time. David, good to see you. He's no bum. He'll be in next week, 3 days, so look forward to hearing that.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With partial sun and some developing showers and storms across the area today, mainly in the afternoon and into the evening. High temperature readings will range from around 86 in Bozeman and 93 in Billings. Scattered showers and storms around early tonight especially. Temperatures will drop back off down into the mid-50s in Bozeman and the mid-60s in Billings. We'll see more developing showers and storms on Friday. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm Paul Trout.
Let's see the video of the fighter jets flying over Bozeman, Montana. Jared Isaacman sent us the exclusive video, MontanaTalks.com.
New News Talk 970 and 103.3 FM KBUL. Your home for Fox News, Hannity, and Montana Talks.